What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Budd here. On the other line, I have Josh Kirchner, and we are going to talk about his new book, Becoming a Backpack Hunter. And man, I got to say that that book is, I think I told you on an Instagram message, but a lot of how you presented the information in that book was a lot of the reason that I wanted to start the Rockcast to dig into that stuff. But the way you presented it was super cool. So thanks for hopping on, and great job with the book.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, thanks for having me on to chat, and thanks for the kind words about the book. I, you know, had a, you know, presenting the information in that book was pretty important to me, like the delivery of it. Like I wanted to make it super comprehensible. You know, cause you're talking to, you know, beginners, right? Like you don't want to like try to talk over their heads or anything like that. I just wanted it to be like super easy to understand. And, but at the same time, like try to give you enough information where you, like you are able after you read this to like go off and do like your first backpack hunt and feel good about it.
Yeah, for sure. I think you definitely did it there. Cause I think a lot of, you know, podcasts and whatnot, we talk so deep into, I guess, like sleep systems, for example. You go so deep into it and start dropping brands and models and stuff. It just, there's no context to it. And I think that's what people have the toughest time finding, just based on questions that you get and some of the misinformation. So something like that, where it's like very beginner like, it really, really helps.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's mission accomplished, you know. That's what people have been telling me, so I'm excited that it translated well.
Heck yeah. So can you give the listeners just a brief background on yourself and then how you like to hunt, your style of hunting?
Yeah, sure. So name's Josh Kirchner, live down here in Arizona, cactus country, kind of I do mostly, I would call myself like 95% a bow hunter. We have a lot of opportunity down in Arizona for bow hunting, especially for deer. So we are fortunate to be able to like hunt coos deer and mule deer during the rut with our bows. So a lot of what I do down here in Arizona is spot and stock hunting. We pretty much live and die by our glass down here in the desert. Do a lot of sitting, a lot of glassing, and from there, you know, just trying to make a play, close the distance. As a kid, it was interesting transitioning into that style of hunting. Cause as a kid, my dad grew up on the East Coast. So like how he like kind of tried to teach me how to hunt was all ambush stuff. It was all like ambush hunting and still hunting, which I feel like is a lost art, if I'm being honest. I think it's important to be well-rounded, but it was like, once, you know, I never used binoculars when I was a kid because it was like, well, why do I need that? Mm-hmm. They just give me a headache. And then when I got older, I just saw there was so much value in, you know, glassing and spot and stock hunting. And I think the method of hunting is really a reflection of, you know, where you hunt. You know, I think, you know, somebody that's hunting in the Midwest, a lot more dense cover, you know, whitetails, whatever it is. You can't be a spot and stock hunter if you wanted to, you know, because you can't glass. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to glass. I mean, you know, so I think it's important to kind of be honest with yourself, like, okay, like, well, what's going to work best for this area here? And for down here in Arizona, the vast majority of what works best is spot and stock hunting.
Oh, for sure. And I think even a lot of times, you know, people ask us where to hunt. I'm sure you get the same thing. You know, they'll just be like, where should I go hunt mule deer? Well, I think that a lot of that has to do too, mm-hmm. with just what you said on what do you want out of it? Like, what kind of hunt do you want? Do you want a spot and stock? Because if you don't, then Arizona is not the place to go. You should go somewhere else, maybe thicker, like Idaho stuff. I'm not sure, but, that's something that just came to mind for sure, that you just really gotta, you got to base the hunt around what you want. And if you don't want a backpack hunt, then you shouldn't go to a unit where you have to go backpack hunting, even though that's what we're talking about today.
Right. Right. Yeah. You probably shouldn't go somewhere you got to hike a bunch of miles in there to get above tree line or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, exactly. So what I was thinking was we were just going to go through a gear list. And before we hit record here, we were talking about you're definitely focused in the lighter side of things. So I thought for, you know, like an early season mule deer high country hunt, what are you taking with you? Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll just start it. Let's go with the pack and why you choose that pack, throw a little context into it, and then we'll just roll on to the next.
Sure. Yeah. So this is awesome because like I'm actually getting ready for this right now.
Heck yeah.
So as far as backpack goes, for years I've been a big fan of Exo Mountain Gear packs. They are on the lighter side of things, but at the same time, in my experience, I'm not giving up any performance. I think something that's very important about a pack that a lot of beginners really overlook is like how a backpack works in terms of like, you know, how the suspension system works. Cause it all works together. You can have the most expensive backpack in the world, but if you don't know how to put it on, it's not going to perform. So, I'm a fan of that. I use the 4800 pack, which is kind of like their middle Exo's kind of middle of the road pack. You know, it compresses down super small. You can day hunt with it, but you can get 10 days out of that thing. It's got a full horseshoe zip on it, which I think is beneficial. The other sizes don't. So you got easy access to like your main compartment of gear. So in terms of efficiency, like getting to camp, you know, and like being like, oh, I got to set up quick because a storm's coming or something like that, I can get in there really fast and see everything rather than having just a top loading pack where is that? Where did I put that? You know what I mean? Like you're like digging through stuff because you can't see everything in there. So that's what I prefer backpack wise.
Perfect. Yeah. And that 4800, how many days, I guess we should throw, how many days are you usually doing?
For this high country hunt coming up or like just in general through the year?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Just for hunt. Like, you know, if you're going to go out, are you a 5 day guy or are you a 10 day guy?
So the vast majority of backpack hunting that I do throughout the year is really probably in the 3 to 5 day area. For hunts like this that are coming up, like I drew a Colorado tag this year again. I drew one last year. Early archery is going to be above tree line. When I'm doing a hunt like that that's out of state, I'm going to go 10 days for me. And I can get all 10 days in that backpack. Something I've done in the past, I haven't had to do this with this pack, but something I've done in the past, you know, the variable with all this is like, oh, how do you get that many days out of these backpacks is really food. That's really what keeps you like from staying out there, I think. So something that I've done in the past, I've actually loaded food in between the bag and the frame. A lot of backpacks, you know, these days, that's where you're carrying your meat and stuff. Yeah. So I'll throw a dry bag in the middle of the bag and frame if I have to, because while it's like, okay, yeah, you could go back to the truck and resupply on food, you're just like, you're burning daylight. You know, like you're burning more hunting time and like, you know, you look forward to this stuff all year round. You make big long drives and stuff. I want to be hunting as much as I can. So I'm going to try to get everything back in one trip.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm using probably the same thing. I like that 5,000 cubic inch mark for a pack. I tend to, mm-hmm. to carry mm-hmm. a bigger pack too. But the good thing about a lot of these bags that are, even if they are bigger, you can compress them down really well and have the extra, I guess, if you need it. But yeah, that's awesome. So what about, let's see, like a tent this year? What are you running for that?
Yeah, so I, for that hunt coming up here, I'm a big fan of, I have been for years, of Nemo equipment. I've just had really good luck with the, it's the brand that I, not the brand, the model that I bring is a Hornet two person, side entry tent, dual vestibule, dual, it's got two entry points. I really prefer side entry when you're talking about like a, you know, like a freestanding, semi-freestanding tent. I think it's just a lot easier to get in and out. Like front entry, I have a few shelters that, you know, you enter from the front. It's always like a, you feel like you got to do like the front dive, right? Like to get in, like, or you have to, or you got to like crab crawl to get in there. So in terms of like, you know, just convenience, I prefer side entry for the tent. That tent is coming in at, just to give people a reference, that tent's coming in, I think it's 2 pounds, 11 ounces is what I'm getting. Which is an, the model from last year, or actually the year before that, they it was coming in at 3 pounds on the nose. So the newer one, they shaved some weight off. That tent, I have put through every bit of weather that I can think of, and it's performed great. It's perfect size, I think, for one person. You got a little bit of room on either side of you on there to like, maybe you have a book with you or something like that. Lay down your camera to charge or something. You don't feel like you're in a coffin.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Have you tried any like the tarp bivy combos?
No, I haven't. I haven't really dove into that. So in Arizona, the only time I would really even consider doing that is probably like our January season. In the warmer months here, we have chiggers, you know, like call me a weenie. There's rattlesnakes, like tarantulas are crawling all over the place. So I think like getting like a good night's sleep is like really beneficial. And sitting there like worrying about that stuff, I have been attacked by chiggers, and it is like, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It's awful. So I'm usually using, no, it's like mosquito bites on steroids that last like 3 weeks. So yeah.
Yeah, dude, not for me, not for me. And that's something too, with a lot of this that we're going to talk about, is putting, you know, so you're talking about this stuff for Arizona. Well, you're going to want a freaking floor in Arizona. You're not going to want a floorless. Whereas like where we're going to go in Idaho, beginning of September, it might be just a crazy death hike in there. Cause we're going for, I'm filming a bighorn sheep hunter. And when those guys, I talked to the guide the other day, and so I was just going to bring my Hilleberg, and it's like 3 pounds. It's a little over 3 pounds, the Neak. And so I was going to bring that just because it's, you know, freestanding. If we get into a really rocky area, you'll have a freestanding, you know, tent. And talk to him, and he's like, yeah, they backpacked into Scout a couple weekends ago, and they went 10 miles one way, and they carried water 7 miles of the 10. And I'm like,
man.
Yeah. So, I'm going to reconsider my sleeping arrangement. So I ended up getting a bivy and, the Seek Outside Eolus. And, that's what I'm going to run, but I'm not going to do that in Arizona. You know, the tent's coming with me. So I think that's good. letting people know, like, that makes a difference. Cause I've had people ask me, they're like, well, you know, on your floorless shelters, you know, the snakes and everything getting in. I'm like, well, I don't have snakes where I'm putting that thing. But if I did, I wouldn't be using floorless. So that's a good thing for people just to think about.
Yeah.
But anyways, are you going to use that same, Hornet on that Hornet tent on that Colorado hunt as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year I ran and I'll be roughly in the same area. Last year I actually ran the Recurve, that Nemo First Light deal. That tent was great. The interesting design that it has, it's unique, you know. You definitely need a bigger footprint for it, like in order to put it down. So I elected because like we are, you know, up where we're going is pretty, you know, steep stuff. You know what I mean? Like last year I actually camped just below tree line and then I would hike up above tree line in the morning. So down there I had plenty of room, but like the steeper that you get, it's like the less flat you get. So I elected to take the other one this year, the Hornet. That's got a lot smaller footprint. I don't need as much room.
Gotcha. Yeah, you gotcha. So I guess just rolling into sleep system, what are you using? You still, are you going to use that Nemo, is it the Longbow pad?
No, I'd love to experiment with that. I just haven't got the chance yet. I've run a Therm-a-Rest Neo Air X-Lite for many years. I've never had to patch it. Even living down here in the thorns, I mean, I guess I've just been lucky with it. The only thing that's happened with that pad is it's got side baffles. Okay, one of the seams on the inside of the pad must have ripped or something like that, because there's a tiny little bit like a tumor in there. I can't feel it at all when I'm sleeping, but like that's literally the only thing that's ever happened to that pad. Other than that, it's done me great. The temperatures don't get super crazy at that time of year in September. I'll be there in Colorado September 1 through 10. The temperatures aren't super crazy at that time of year, so I'm not really worried about having like a super warm pad. But later season, I definitely am going to start looking at like something else. I'm going to Idaho. I forgot about that. I'm going to Idaho in October to photograph a deer and elk hunt. So that's going to be a little colder. So I might look into something else for that.
Yeah, I reviewed that Nemo Longbow pad last year and it's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great lightweight option. It took some abuse. Robbie thought that he was going to, that it was going to pop, but it didn't. It's held strong. It's been a great pad. The only thing is it doesn't, I went to the Big Agnes Q-Core SLX this year and I got the regular, you know, the 6 foot long. And then I ended up getting a wide cause it came in at just a little bit over a pound with a wide and, that extra, I have issues with my, not sciatic, but that celiac joint or whatever. And I'm a side sleeper. So that more cushier pad seems to help with that on extended hunts.
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch it up a little bit, but that Nemo Longbow pad was good. And those are the big ones that I've used. I used the old Q-Core before, but, yeah, I don't know. I've never really had a horrible pad. Have you?
No, I really haven't. I mean, well, I should rewind to the first year of backpacking that I did. I did use like the old school, like roll up foam, you know, Therm-a-Rest stuff. It's incredibly light, but it's giant. I mean, you know, it'd be the size of your backpack rolled up. Those are not built for comfort at all for anybody that's like wanting to get into this. Like I'd say don't even bother, just pony up the dough, get an inflatable sleeping pad. Like you're going to sleep so much better.
Oh yeah, dude. Absolutely. What are you running, a quilt?
Yeah, actually I am. I'm running Enlightened Equipment, 20 degree. It's the Revelation. So, that quilt has been great. 19 ounces is where it comes in at. It packs down super small. I believe it's like either 8 or 850 down. I can't remember the exact fill, but packs down super small, takes up really minimal space in my backpack, and it's pretty nice, especially like when it's not really cold out. It's nice to like have the room to be like, yeah, I'm just gonna like throw my leg out or whatever, you know, rather than like being in a mummy bag. It's not always so like convenient like doing that.
Right.
I think mummy bags definitely have their place though. You know, I might look into a mummy for like really cold hunts. But most of the stuff that I do though, I mean, dude, like down here in January, like I mean, the high, it's like 60 degrees, the high, you know, like the weather, like the low is like 30 or something. It's not like terrible at all. It's actually quite beautiful.
Yeah. Gotcha. I've got that, you know, and I was kind of skeptical on quilts because some of that is because I had used, you know, the big Agnes system where they don't have any insulation in the bottom and you rely on the pad.
Yeah. Yep.
So I had run that my earlier years and I swear I had almost frozen to death in October. And so I'd always kind of been shy of quilts because, you know, they don't, it's kind of the same concept. But I got I got the Kafaru quilt, which that's not a down, that's a synthetic insulation, but I got that thing and I love it. And I use it on like the earlier season hunts. Getting into October, I'll switch over to just a regular bag because a lot of the October stuff we're doing here is, you know, it can get pretty chilled down. But otherwise, that quilt, I'm super glad that I ended up getting into one of those.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not for everybody, and I think they definitely have their place. I mean, I really think it comes down to the person though. Like some people, I mean, they'll take a quilt out in September and be miserable. You know, like even when it's not like really cold out, it just doesn't work for them, and that's fine. You know, but I think, you know, I mean, if you can run one, I think it's really beneficial. One thing that I miss about a mummy bag is the hood on a mummy bag is absolutely perfect for keeping your frickin' pillow in place. Like, cause I run the little, Sea to Summit Eros, little inflatable pillow. I think it's just like a game changer, you know, like you're just going to sleep so much better. But that thing fits perfect in the hood of a mommy bag. Whereas with a quilt, you don't have the hood. So you're kind of like I'm waking up like several times a night, which that's how I sleep at home anyways. But like to reposition that pillow to make sure it like doesn't fall off my pad. So that is, I would say that is a downside. But other than that, I mean, the quilt life has been pretty nice.
Dude, yeah. So what I started doing, we just went on that backpack trip and I had, for some reason, I had just had enough of my pillow like shooting out from under my head. So I took my backpack and put the backpack behind the pad so when the pillow couldn't shoot out, I guess. And that was actually kind of nice.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a good thing. But in like a little shelter, you don't really want to bring your, you know, that's what a vestibule is for, is to throw your pack in there. In a floorless, it wasn't so bad, but,
right?
But yeah, I think it it just depends. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it's I definitely miss it. I think I might look into, man, what is that company called? Feathered Friends, I think. They make sleeping bags and stuff.
Yeah, Feathered Friends. Another one that I think makes those pillows as well is Western Mountaineering.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I mean that's you're good. I mean, pretty penny for those bags, but I mean they're worth it from what I understand. I mean, you know what? It's like I feel like you know, if it's your thing, you know, like. I've always said like people have their things that they like to do, right? Like like maybe this fella over here, like he's into cars. Okay, like that's like a car guy. Like if your thing is like backpack hunting or like just bow hunting, whatever, I'd like just spend the freaking money. You know, like what inevitably ends up happening is like right when you get into it, I did this. I tried to like, yeah, and you got to do what you got to do, right? But like I tried to like cheap out on stuff.
Yeah.
And then you soon realize that, man, this backpack sucks. You know, like every single time I put it on, my hip starts hurting. And then in the end, if you would have just like got what you wanted right in the beginning, you would have actually saved money because you didn't go through like three different backpacks or three different shelters or whatever.
All right. So quick recap of so far, EXO 4800 pack. And the Nemo Hornet 2 person, and Thermarest, the X-Lite, and then Enlightened Equipment 20 degree, correct?
Yep, you got it.
Perfect. All right, so that's where we've got so far. What about your cook system?
Yeah, Cook System. So I used to be a big fan of like Jet Boil and stuff. Just those full systems like that. Really convenient. They do great in the wind. I have since, for a few reasons, those are great, but they're also big. They take up quite a bit of room in a backpack. Mm-hmm. So I migrated over towards a smaller type of system. I the stove that I like to use, the Optimus Cruxlite.
Yeah.
It's like a little, I think it is or something like that. It's like a bomber little stove. And the cup system is a GSI, I think it's called a Minimalist, if I'm not mistaken. Hanalite, Minimalist, something like that. And it's just a little, just a little cup stove. You get your fuel canister, right? And then there's like little finger tabs that come with it because there's not like a handle on the cup. One of the reasons I went to that cup is because it comes with a koozie deal. So like there's like padding on the outside of it. Like when you're not boiling it, you put it in this little koozie. I'm a coffee guy. I like drinking coffee in the morning. So like in the past, a few cups that I ran in the past with this stove, they didn't have that. And I always found that like would make coffee in the morning in the cup and I wouldn't be able to drink my coffee right away in the morning because I'd burn my freaking lips on the cup. Cause it was still hot. And by the time it was not hot, the coffee wasn't hot. And then you're just drinking, lukewarm or cold coffee. So,
yep.
This little thing. Yeah. So this little thing here, it's got, the padding on the outside of it. So you could, you got your coffee, you're ready to rock right off the bat, man. Just put your little lid on and start going. That's the type of little system. And I also carry a little, it's a little igniter. Like a little, they call it a piezo igniter.
I think.
That's how I light the stove.
Yep. Gotcha. I'm super similar system. I've got that same GSI Minimalist cup. I've had that thing for so long. I don't even know. I think I bought it in 2011. Like I've had it for so long and it's still kicking.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. And then I've got the Soto Windmaster stove. So super similar setup to what you've got going. And dude, I love that thing. And I know there's a lot of guys are using those, ultra lightweight titanium cups that literally, they weigh like 4 ounces or something. But having that koozie and with that, that sippy cup lid on there that's where it's at. I'm telling you.
Yep. I'm telling you, yeah. If you're a coffee lover, I mean, it doesn't get any better.
No.
So, no. Yeah. Obviously, like the one drawback, do you run into problems with wind?
I do, especially late season. And that's where I've just kind of gone big and went to that MSR reactor for the later colder weather, like super windy hunts.
Yeah, there you go. Like I just kind of figure it out pretty much.
Like, yeah.
I'll set my backpack up. Or like, I remember I was on a spring bear hunt. I think it was like last year, the year before that. I can't remember, but there was like snow on the ground, 40 mile an hour winds. I basically found a crevice in a bluff and like sat in that bluff and got out of the wind and was able to cook. So like, there's always a way to do it. You just gotta be creative with it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure. I gotcha. Let's. What about clothing? What are you doing there?
Yeah. So for this, obviously, this is gonna like kind of fluctuate like throughout the year, based on temperature and stuff. But for like this hunt coming up here, it's Colorado High Country Hunt. What I'm doing is, I like First Light clothing. I've run that stuff for years. Up top, I'm going Wick 150, the hooded Wick up top for like my first base layer.
Yep.
On top of that, I'm going to throw the hooded kiln. And then more than likely, usually with these September hunts, it's not really that cold. So after that, I'm probably going to just bring the Uncompadre 2.0, that puffy.
Yep.
And that's pretty That's my up top system. I'll bring the Vapor Stormlight rain jacket in too, because it's gonna rain. It's the early season, you know, thunderstorms are gonna happen. So I'm gonna you just kind of plan for that. And then down low, I'm doing the wick boxers, corrugate guide pants, and probably the Mercury crew sock.
Oh yeah. Yep.
For down low. Yep. If it gets a little colder, like as it gets colder throughout the year, I'll switch to I'll run that same exact system, but I'll do probably the triad sock, the First Light triad sock, because it's longer. And I can bring it up to my knees, which kind of mitigates using having a base layer on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to do that, you got to do that. But I've found I just try to avoid it. I just hate wearing a base layer on the bottom. And then up top, I'm probably just going to add in the Brooks down sweater or the vest. Or like the Klamath hoodies, just something like that to put in between the base layers and the puffy.
Yeah, dude, you bet. Have you tried that the ridge top pullover? Just that it's like a synthetic, just a super lightweight pullover that they came out with this year.
Yeah, you know what? I have it. I haven't got a chance to try it out yet, but it seems pretty. It seems pretty awesome.
Yeah, dude, I love that thing. That's gonna be so. I pretty much wear the same thing. That 150 wick hoodie. I love that wick hoodie. Having the hood on your base layer is awesome. Oh, yeah. But then I'll throw that ridge top over the top of that thing, and then I'll do a Klamath, and then I'll do that puffy jacket. And that's a pretty good base to start out with. And then, of course, rolling into the later seasons, you could do different things, even a Catalyst vest. I'll probably throw that in there for these later October, November mm-hmm. hunts. But yeah, just that mm-hmm. Merino fleece, puffy jacket, rain jacket base is dang good to start with. And I like those socks too, the over the calf compression socks. I think they help with shin splints too. Yep. A little bit.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps as well with calf fatigue, you know, just because it's keeping everything real tight, you know. I have run into issues sleeping with them. I wouldn't recommend sleeping with them. My feet have gone numb before because of that, because they are tight. But I mean, when you're out there, you know, hitting it, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah. Heck yeah. What are you doing for boots?
I'm running. I'm actually kind of up in the air about this. I last year I ran the Crispy Colorados. Love that boot. I did change out the insole. I put a sole performance thick insole in there. It's a cork insole. It takes up quite a bit of room in the boot. And it's pretty comfortable. I tried a bunch of aftermarket insoles and I just kept getting a little bit of heel lift because there was just a little bit too much room for me, for my foot in there. Sole insole though, man, that took care of everything. That was a game changer for me. So Crispy Colorado, I'm gonna be messing around with the non-insulated Brickstall though. I have those on the way right now.
Nice.
So I might end up bringing those. Yeah, I might end up bringing those. I mean, with that steep country, having that stiffer boot, man, that's probably going to be pretty beneficial.
For sure. Those Brickstalls are definitely more of a mountaineering feel, more of a technical boot than those Colorados, even though they say that they're both, a four flex. I think those Brickstalls have mm-hmm. the edge for the technical, more steep country stuff.
One thing I'm curious about, so those Colorados, because of that, we're going to get super nerdy now, because of that dual density midsole, mm-hmm. that's that cushion, I've stalked in the Colorados, successfully, a few times. That's one thing I was wondering about with the Brickstalls, because it is stiffer. I didn't know if that transferred into the bottom of the boot, and if I'm going to have you know, the variability that I have with the other boots in order to stock. Cause honestly, it might just because I'm a desert kid, like, but most of the time when I'm bow hunting, I don't take my boots off. I just go slower and I rock hop. Cause like the big rocks, they don't make any noise. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just kind of, yeah. So I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So that the Brixtals, they're louder. I think they're a little bit louder. And I think some of that has to do with they do feel like they have they're more stiff. But those Colorados, man, those things mm-hmm. are like, that's as close of a boot that can do, like, it'll be a little bit too stiff for Eastern hunting, but it seems to be just right in the Western. Like, that's as much of like a coast to coast boot as I could come up with. And it is because it's so quiet, but it still performs really well in the high country. And I can't quite put my finger on what it is about that boot, but it's great.
It's, I mean, I would call it, you know, the ultimate tweener. Really, I mean, it's, you know, between like the worlds of like, because I was a Salomon guy for years, loved that boot, mm-hmm. but I couldn't get, goodness gracious, probably like 3-4 months maybe, and then the bottom of the sole would peel on me, which then you know you do that, now you've like compromised the waterproofness of the boot and everything. And just like, I don't know if it's because Arizona is so rocky, mm-hmm. Or what, because I've talked to other people and they're like, oh, I'll get 4 years out of that boot, you know? And like, I mean, I don't know. So, so that was like kind of go ahead.
Oh no, you're good. I know. I was just going to say that, I think it really depends on where you're at. You know, I talked to some guys that did a lot of Arizona, New Mexico type stuff, and I recommended some boots to them and they just like shredded them. And I was mortified because I was like, oh my God, how did you guys do that? But I mean, a lot of the stuff I was doing was high country Wyoming. It's a lot of, you know, grass. There's rocks up there, but not like Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, staking out a tent in Arizona compared to like somewhere like Colorado or something, or Utah, it's a freaking nightmare. Like, there's just so many, like, it is a puzzle, but like trying to get the stake in, like, okay, like the exact angle, like, you know, trying to like work your way around these rocks and stuff. So no, it's rocky, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different game than, you know, hunting above 10,000 feet out in Wyoming or Colorado. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so let's see, moving on, what's the next? Man, those are like the base things of camp. And I think camp-wise is really what people like, it's the most heavy for people, you know what I mean? Like, I think camp is where you can really lighten things up. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about on this one, was hitting more of the lightweight crowd. Cause I'm not super lightweight, although I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. That's what I think we did a good job on doing that.
What are you running for a water filter?
Ooh, good one. I like that Steripen Nalgene combo. I did just get an MSR Gravity Flow though, so it's got that. It's just that inline filter. So it's got a 10-liter bag, an inline filter, and then on the outlet of the filter, it has threading. So I can thread it onto a Nalgene bottle. I can thread it onto like a 6-liter bladder, or you can just cap it off, and it flows, like it filters so fast. I always remember gravity filters being like a drip thing and having it take absolutely forever, but that thing is fast. So you could pretty much just unscrew it and fill a bottle up relatively quickly. And then that gets away from like the AquaTab taste or that iodine taste.
Yeah.
Gets away from that a little bit. And that's not a huge deal. I still think if I was needing to go really ultralight, I would still just take my AquaTabs for my big water bladders. Mm-hmm. we're gonna give that filter a shot. What about you?
I'm doing, so I kind of switch it up a little bit, like depending on where I'm going. Last year when I was in Utah, we camped. I knew we were going to a we were going to be camped at a high country lake. So on that trip, I brought a Katadyn Bee Free. It's very similar to like a Sawyer Squeeze. So, and the thing with those filters, I think they're really great. You know, they're super easy to use, but you definitely need like an adequate water source in order to use them well. Like there's usually always a way to get the bag filled up, but like here in Arizona, goodness, like water's kind of hard to come by sometimes. So sometimes I'm filtering out of a little like silver dollar hole or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is not, I mean, that's just not going to work for like a Sawyer or something like that. Like, you might be able to like finagle something with like, you know, water coming, dripping off of a rock or something like that, but you're going to be sitting there wasting time trying to fill up this bag when you could just like, what I normally do is I run a pump. And I go like, I'll do the Katadyn Hiker Pro. That's the one that I've always taken with me, the pump. And that thing's always been great. And it, so for places like here, you know, where I live, like that's the king, in my opinion. I would love to do, like, I have a Steripen and stuff. I just don't, like, where I hunt most of the time, I don't have the option to use something like that because I can't like fill up a Nalgene that easy. Oh. But like in Colorado or something, like there's water everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes right back to knowing where you're going and the conditions that you're going to be in. Because I remember I was up, I think it was in Wyoming, but I was in the high country and it rained and I had to drop for water, like drop quite a ways down for water. Well, I had a pump with me.
Yeah.
And there was water that was standing in this big rock. And so I just pumped it right out of the rock and it was awesome. But I wouldn't have done that. You know, I don't think I could have done that with a Nalgene, because for one, I couldn't have got the Nalgene down there far enough to even fill it up, you know, halfway. And then there would have been a bunch of bugs and kind of nasties in there. So yeah, the pumps, man, they definitely have their place. You just got to know where you're going.
Yeah, little more elbow grease, you know, to run the pump. You definitely get a little more fatigued. But I mean, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Dude, yeah, for sure. Well, man, we covered a bit. Is there anything you want to leave people with? I definitely would direct people over to get the book because I loved it.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you know, if anyone wants to check it out, I'd super appreciate it. It's called Becoming a Backpack Hunter, A Beginner's Guide to Hunting the Backcountry. If you just search, like go to Amazon, search Becoming a Backpack Hunter, it'll pop up. You can get it in both print and Kindle formats. And, you know, my goal with the whole thing was not to make something where, oh, look at how awesome I am. Yeah. I truly like wanted to make something like to lay out a roadmap for people that have maybe been kicking around backpack hunting, and they just haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. Cause it is like for like a city person, like that's like not used to doing this stuff. It could be quite intimidating, you know, like leaving the concrete jungle and going like living in the dirt for, you know, a couple of days. That's not normal. So that's what it is. It takes you from, you don't even know if you want to backpack hunt all the way to packing an animal out back to the truck and everything in between. So if that sounds like something, you know, that you're interested in, check it out. I'd really appreciate that.
Heck yeah, man. Well, I thank you again for hopping on.